Our annual Understanding the Times conference concluded just 2 weeks ago. Coming all the way from Israel, Amir Sarfati joined us for that weekend event. Amir is on the cutting edge of Mideast and prophecy-related issues. We are airing his conference message this hour. Listen as today's headlines are interpreted from the Bible.
You see, nothing is really taking God by surprise. God is in full control, and when we see all those unbelievable events happening, taking place all over the world, God is still on the throne. There is none like Him.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today you'll hear one of the speakers from the conference held in Eden Prairie, Minnesota 2 weeks ago. Amir Sarfati was born in Jerusalem to a Jewish family. He grew up in the Jerusalem area. While a high school senior, he heard about the Messiah while living with a foster family. It was when Amir saw Campus Crusade's Jesus film that he came to faith in Christ, the turning point in his life. Since 1999, Amir has appeared in churches, prophecy seminars, and conferences around the world, teaching on current events in Israel in light of Bible prophecy. Amir was one of the speakers at our October conference earlier this month. Before we hear the message Amir delivered at that event, here's Jan with some opening comments.
And welcome to the program. And just two weekends ago, we had Understanding the Times 2015. And what a weekend we had. We had between 6,000 and 7,000 people from probably 20 states for the 2 days. And we're going to be playing a message or two. We're going to start this weekend with Amir Sarfati. But first, let me say that our other guest speakers that weekend, Dr. Robert Jeffress, First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Michelle Bachman, and Amir Sarfati, who is an Israeli Bible and prophecy teacher. Amir sort of, well, he electrified me, I can tell you that. And part of his message, he addresses the fact that America has dropped the world leadership baton, and there are consequences. One of the worst consequences to that is that Israel is now all alone. However, that may portend in the natural some dark things, but God is going to use that for good. And let's just go over and start to hear the message presented by Amir Sarfati titled, Israel Standing Alone.
The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 46 in verses 9 and 10, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. There is no other God. And then he says, I am God and there is none like me. And one of the things he wants us to know that is so different about our faith than any other faith on the face of this planet is that he has a great things ahead for us and a clear plan for the rest of the people. There is nothing hidden from us. No one here can say that he cannot understand or know what God has in store for us. It is all here. And by the way, it's from right to left. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You see, nothing is really taking God by surprise. God is in full control. And when we see all those unbelievable events happening, taking place all over the world, God is still on the throne. And his counsel shall stand. And the funny thing is, if you know the whole story, if you know the end from the beginning, if you understand that 2,600 years ago, a prophet called Ezekiel could already tell you things that are not yet done, then you know that his counsel shall stand. And that's why there is none like him. Not only that everything that he said is going to take place, but he's in full control. And he's not a God that is dismayed by any world leader that thinks that he does not exist. That as we live in this crazy world, especially in Bible prophecy as we deal with it, there are two different tracks by which the world is operating. There is the global track, which is global deception, versus the regional track. And what is the big difference between the two? The global track is not exactly by leaders and countries necessarily. This is what Ephesians 6:12 says, powers and principalities. That's something much bigger, much greater than a president in the White House or in the Kremlin. Way bigger than that. These are the biggest, I would say, movers and shakers behind the scene. These are those who pull the strings so Obama will say A and Putin will do B. You understand that global deception has to happen, has to take place in order for the world to receive that false Messiah, which we all call the Antichrist. By the way, we're the only ones calling him Antichrist. The rest of the world will receive him as if he is indeed the Messiah, indeed the Redeemer, indeed the Deliverer. And we see a great race for a global economy all over the world. I don't need to tell you, but there is a great attempt to bring about the end of the U.S. dollar, the end of the domination of the dollar, most likely even to end the entire system of the petrodollar. Once that happens, the dollar will have no value anymore. Your government has been printing dollars like monopoly. There is no substance to it. And we know that sometimes, at some point, it's going to hit the fan. And everybody's bracing towards every single word that the chairman of the Federal Reserve is about to say, because it's so shaky. It's so unstable. They know that every tiny little change of the interest rate may bring about, and they call it correction. I love it. Correction. You're losing 30, 40, 50%, and it's called correction. Because they all know it's wrong now. It's an illusion right now. And then there's, of course, the race for a global government. A race, by the way, that started in Genesis 3. All throughout the Tower of Babel, all throughout the history, until 2015. In fact, this is exactly what I detail in that DVD about the Illuminati and the One World Government. I'm not Dan Brown. I didn't write a book about the Illuminati. That's not what it's all about. The entire deception that men can be like God, that he saw the light, that he is illuminated, it started in Genesis 3. And it goes all the way until today. And if it was done in the dark, and it was done in the secret, now the word that came to my mind the last few days, emboldened. You see that it's all out in the open. People are not anymore afraid of bringing it out to the light and say, we are Luciferians. We are into one world government. We are pushing for a world government system. A pope can stand and talk about the importance of a one world government system to control climate change. Climate change is the easiest way to bring about the whole world behind something that matters to everyone, regardless of his country or his faith. And then, of course, the sad story of how the Catholic Church is becoming Christless, in embracing basically almost every area of the world today. Whether it's trying to convince the Protestants that the protest is over, continuing to the interfaith and the ecumenical efforts to bring about all people from all religions together, as long as they do good and they are good and they live under the spirit of the Beatitudes, they will enter the kingdom of God. And then, of course, we see how they suddenly embrace the Big Bang Theory and the Darwinism Theory. You see that the LGBT agenda is being embraced by them. You even see some sort of a understanding to Muslim terrorism, Islamic terrorism. When the Pope said, right after the massacre of Charlie Hebdo in January of 2015 in Paris, the Pope was actually interviewed and he said, if somebody calls my mother a name, I will smack him too. And then, of course, recruiting the Pope for that one world government agenda and the global climate change thing, you can see that it's everything but Christ. You can stand for 40 minutes and give a speech in Congress and not even mention the name of Jesus one single time. So we see that. And we see that that deception is all over the world. This is what I call the global track. But then, of course, when we move to the regional track, it's a track that is indeed dictated by leaders and by countries, specific countries. We see Russia's invasion into the Middle East. We were not surprised, you know, as Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann said, the Russians have been testing the water for a few weeks. They smuggled first four jets, fighter jets, flying low underneath a cargo plane. By the way, they learned that from us. And suddenly, the cargo plane lands and there was four jets right next to it. And within 1 week, 32 jets. And 12 assault helicopters. And not to mention the recruiting right now of almost 150,000 soldiers to come all the way to that area. America and Europe are officially out of the Middle East. NATO is irrelevant. America, as we just heard, dropped the baton. This is it. We see amazing changes, and they're all regional. It's not a global deception. It's regional events that are indeed conducted by rulers of countries. But then, of course, one must never forget of all that happened in the last few months. Israel has been thrown under the bus, and we understand. If you saw the face of Benjamin Netanyahu at the UN address, he was sad. This is the first time he's standing right in front of everyone and blaming everyone, including the United States, for being silent in the face of the calling for the destruction of Israel and telling everyone there that we will do whatever it takes to defend our people and our country. Because in the Middle East, you don't talk. If you want to talk, talk. But we prefer to act. If you want to shoot, shoot, don't talk. If you want to talk, then the Middle East is not your place. The Middle East will not honor or respect tolerance, because tolerance is being perceived as weakness.
If you just join me, we're playing a message from Understanding the Times 2015, back on October 2nd, 3rd. This is Amir Sarfati from Israel. He gave a message titled, Israel Standing Alone. Let's get back to Amir.
When you say we need to sit and talk, that means I cannot do anything else. And that's why I can only sit and talk. And once the mice smell that this is it, they all come out of their holes. And Israel's growing isolation led me to share this message. The topic is standing alone. The Lord gave me a verse, but he didn't give me the reference. Sort of like I had the words in my mind, but I couldn't figure out where is it. I looked throughout the prophets, and I looked throughout the Psalms, and I couldn't find it. And shamefully, I Googled. See, I knew those words, but I was sure it was something that one of the prophets said, and it wasn't. It was actually a pagan prophet that said those words. And he threw me all the way to the story of Balaam, if you remember. Balak, not Barak, Balak, the king of Moab, is a king that heard a lot about what the children of Israel had gone through and how God Almighty is the one who was walking before them and fighting for them. And that king understood, I cannot fight these people. It's not going to end up well if we're going to have to decide about our future in the battlefield. We have to move to the spiritual realm. I have to find the best magician, the best pagan prophet, and I have to give him the task to put a spell on these people, to curse these people, and maybe then, and only then, they will no longer be able to continue. And he, of course, called Bilam, we call him, and he said, I'm going to give you that much money, and you're going to go and curse these people. And in his dreams, God visited Balaam and said, you shall not go with them, you shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. I was thinking to myself, God spoke about the people of Israel right here in Numbers 22, after all those, that great disappointment from them in the desert. They murmured, they cried, they rebelled. There was nothing great about them. It wasn't about them. But God said to Balaam, hey, mister, you can't curse them. They are blessed. Not because of who they are, because of who I am. And Balaam was thinking about it, and then he said, but the money is good, so I'll take my donkey and head my way and curse them. And he goes with his donkey. And sometimes you can be so stupid that the donkey can be smarter than you. And sometimes the donkey can see things that you cannot see. And sometimes God has to make the donkey talk in order for you to listen. I wonder sometimes how many people around us are the talking donkey. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword. By the way, many times in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is the theophany, is the appearance of Christ in the Old Testament, standing with his drawn sword in his hand. And Balaam bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And then when he came to curse them, he couldn't, of course. Look what he said in Numbers 23:8. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom the Lord has not denounced? You don't support Israel because of their policy, because of who they are and how they do things. You have to support and love Israel because of who God is. And the Lord said, you cannot curse those whom I bless. And then came verse 9. That's the verse that came to my mind that I had to Google. And then he said, "For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. There a people dwelling alone, not reckoning itself among the nations." Amazing. God designed the people of Israel not to be reckoning themselves among the nations, to actually stand alone. It's not a bad thing to stand alone. It's actually a God thing to stand alone in this world. As he said in Deuteronomy 7, verse 6, he said, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be people for himself, a special treasure above all the people on the face of the earth. You are my people, and it is through you that I'm going to introduce to the whole world my word, and it is through you that I'm going to introduce to the whole world my son, the Messiah, the deliverer of all people. Emmanuel, God is with us." Think about it. The people of Israel, they don't even understand that they were designed to be alone. They think that it's a bad thing, while God reckoned it as a good thing. God's plan for Israel was never deterred by their lack of faith. It is the well-being of Israel that was deterred by their lack of faith. You understand? In Romans chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, "For the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable." You know, when you think that God's choices are based on how you are now, right now, or yesterday, and you don't see the whole picture, when you think that God is done with Israel, that he has replaced Israel with the church, you're basically insulting God, because Israel is your insurance policy that God indeed is a faithful God. Amen? If he changed his mind about Israel, he can change his mind about you. My God is not a God that changes his plans like that. We see that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable.
I'll say more about available CDs and DVDs in just a few minutes, but they are available, and our other speakers included Dr. Robert Jeffress, Pastor Jack Hibbs, and Michelle Bachman. I had some words to say as well, so I'll give you all those details in just a few minutes.
In just a moment, Understanding the Times will return with more from Amir Sarfati. You can now order the video and audio recordings from our October 2015 conference. Just click on to our website at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-559-4444. Along with Amir, you'll hear the conference messages given by Dr. Robert Jeffress, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachman, and Pastor Jack Hibbs. Again, order your conference memories at olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. We appreciate so very much your support for this broadcast ministry. As our prayer and financial partner, you are part of our team in bringing the inconvenient truth to America. You can send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311.
We've just finished our 19th Understanding the Times Conference. Thousands were in attendance or streaming online, but the best way for us to explain the success of this conference is by the attendees who were there.
Why do I come to conferences like this? Since most churches don't deal with these topics, it's the best place to come and hear about these things.
We look at the world and what's going on, and when we look at it through God's eyes, we can have peace and calmness about what's happening.
These conferences, I feel, are very, very important because it simply helps a believer in their walk to understand the times. It unfolds it biblically.
Hi, my name is Marie. I'm from Louisiana, and I drove 19 hours to come to this conference, and it was worth every minute.
I'll tell you, this conference is important because we're in the end times, and we need to know what's happening in the world. And folks, we know that Jesus is coming soon. The question is, what will we do about it? And the conference also helps us on that.
And you can now order complete sets of CDs or DVDs online, by mail, or by phone. Our featured speakers, Dr. Robert Jeffress, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Michelle Bachman, and Amir Sarfati, addressed current issues of the day from a biblical perspective. They talked extensively about Bible prophecy as well as deception in the church. Order online at olivetreeviews.org or call us at 763-559-4444. Six messages on DVD are $40 plus $5 shipping, and six messages on CD are $30 plus $5 shipping. You can write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Become a watchman on the wall by becoming aware of our incredible times and by tapping into these resources.
The great blessing that came upon the United States of America right after you have acknowledge Israel as a state, you recognize Israel as a state on May 14, 1948. You were the first country to do that. And needless to say, these were the greatest years of the American economy and the American foreign diplomacy. You basically did receive a few years earlier the baton from the English and from the British, and you moved on and you took it to greater places all around the world. You were indeed blessed because that was the principle of Genesis 12. God will bless those who bless Israel, and God will curse those who curse Israel.
On today's Understanding the Times, you're hearing the October 2015 conference message delivered by Amir Sarfati just a couple of weeks ago. Here again is Jen Markell.
I want to get back to Amir Sarfati's message the weekend of October 2nd and 3rd. We had quite a turnout. We even had thousands live streaming in addition to those present at the church itself. And we'll say more about this in coming events 2016 at a later time. But let's right now just get back to Amir Sarfati and his message on Saturday, October the 3rd, Israel standing alone.
But as I said, the well-being of Israel was deterred by their lack of faith. You read in Deuteronomy 28, the blessing and the cursing. The blessing if you follow God. The curses that comes upon you if you don't follow God. But it's your fault. If you decide not to follow him, don't expect his blessings to follow you. Now, you must understand, God directed nations along the history to help Israel. And for that, they were blessed. They were greatly blessed. Do I need to tell you the great blessing that came upon the United States of America right after you have acknowledged Israel as a state, you recognize Israel as a state on May 14, 1948? You were the first country to do that. And needless to say, these were the greatest years of the American economy and the American foreign diplomacy. You basically did receive a few years earlier the baton from the English and from the British, and you moved on and you took it to greater places all around the world. You were indeed blessed because that was the principle of Genesis 12, as we learned yesterday. God will bless those who bless Israel, and God will curse those who curse Israel. This is a given. If you come to Israel, I always take my people and I show them the border on the Golan Heights and with Lebanon. All I need to tell them is whenever the green stops, that's Syria. Wherever the green stops, that's Lebanon. You can clearly see visually where the blessing stops. And then when we drive along the Jordan Valley, people tell me, but wait a minute, on the Jordanian side, it's green also. And I said, yes. But it wasn't green until Israel signed peace with those Jordanians. And now we are having peace with them. And not only peace, the Jordanians are going to be opening their doors for the fleeing Jews from the horrors of the Antichrist. So Jordan has to be blessed if Genesis 12 verses 1 and 2 is indeed true. And we see that. As a deputy governor of Jericho and the Jordan Valley, I had many talks with my Jordanian counterparts. And one thing I asked one time a Jordanian general is, why aren't you having a much heavier military presence along the border with us? And he said, because you're not the problem. In fact, the strategy of the Jordanian army is to have our back to Israel and face the east, because from the east, the evil is going to come to Jordan. They know that, and they understand that we're not having any aspiration to take over Jordan. We are friends with Jordan. We have peace with Jordan, and Jordan is greatly blessed as a result of that. But you must understand, people are looking and thinking, wow, America has lifted its support from Israel, so what's going to happen to Israel? Israel probably is going to collapse. That's the end. Well, I want to tell you something. The concept of Israel relying on another nation in order to survive is an insult for God. That's why he designed us to stand alone. And you see that in the 8th century BC, in the book of Isaiah, you clearly see when Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, was coming to attack Hezekiah the king, he sent his spokesman, Rav Shakeh, who spoke fluent Hebrew. And the guy was standing on the walls of Jerusalem and basically trying to tell the people of Israel that it's for their own benefit to surrender and walk along and work along with the Assyrians. And he said in chapter 36, verses 18 to 20, he says the following thing. Be aware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying, the Lord will deliver you. Has any one of the gods of the nations delivered its land from the hands of the king of Assyria? Just the next chapter in verses 21 and on. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Who have you reproached and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted up your eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. You see, you cannot mess up with the Holy One of Israel. And look what he told him. Towards the end he says, because your rage against me and your tumult have come up to my ears, therefore I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle in your lips, and I will turn you back by the way which you came. So it's important that you understand, God does not want Israel to rely on anyone else but him. Not on Egypt, not on America, not on Europe, not on any world leader or country. And even in the 20th century, when he brought the Jewish people back to their land, it was done solely by him.
If you just join me, I am playing a message this weekend given by Amir Sarfati, Understanding the Times, 2015, October 2nd and 3rd. And Amir is an Israeli. He electrified the audience with the fact that, well, quite frankly, he feels America has dropped the baton for the world leadership, and there are terrible consequences to that. And one of the worst of those consequences is the fact that Israel, of course, is now completely alone. However, God has not abandoned her, and God will use this position of isolation and alienation for his end time purposes. Back to Amir Sarfati.
My grandparents survived Auschwitz in Poland. And when they survived Auschwitz, they kind of found their way to Italy to board the boat and to start a journey to the land of Israel. You would think that the world after the Holocaust took place, after 6 million Jews were brutally murdered and annihilated, not by their own people, but by Europe, not by other Jews, you would think that the world will be so compassionate and help them. But when my grandparents saw Israel, the British police stopped their boat, turned it around, and sent them to another detention camp in Cyprus. And that's where my mother was born. You see, the return of the Jews back to their land was with no official international assistance. Not at all. Nowadays, Muslims are being killed by their own brothers, by Muslims. And the whole world is mobilizing itself, taking them, putting them on trains, putting them on boats, giving them houses, everybody. And you see the difference between the way they treated the Jews, even after the Holocaust, and the way we see things right now. In Ezekiel 37, the Lord said, I will bring you back to your land, and the nations will see that I am the Lord. Even the elimination, and we heard that in the last message, the elimination of the regional existential threats, namely the nuclear reactors that were around us, it was without official international assistance. We had to deal with that all alone. You know, in 1981, when we sent our almost entire Air Force on the mission to destroy the Iraqi nuclear reactor that was about to become active, days later, did you know that the American administration imposed sanctions on Israel? Did you know that you wouldn't even sell us spare parts for our F-16s? And you know that You actually said, how dare you use American aircraft? Well, we don't have Jewish ones. But America did not help us. In fact, we did not get any help. We had to take care of ourselves. And in 2007, when we launched our satellite Amos for the first time with unbelievable cameras, and we got the first pictures from the Syrian desert, we saw something very disturbing. A building that was not there before. We immediately suspected that something fishy is going on. We could see movement of trucks from the port in Tarsus all the way to that area. When we inquired through our third party, we were told that this is an agricultural farm. So we sent several farmers to Europe in order to visit the head of the nuclear program of Syria in his hotel room. He wasn't there. So we just borrowed his laptop. And when we returned it, it was with a nice little Israeli chocolate. I mean, come on, you have to be polite. Once we got all the data from his laptop, it was evident there is a nuclear reactor built right below our nose, right there in the Syrian desert. We had to send more farmers now to the Syrian desert. And we landed them with helicopters. They were on the move for 2 days in the Syrian desert. They got to the area. They scooped some of the samples of the soil. We brought it back to Tel Aviv. And it was just evident that there are traces of uranium right there. We asked help from the White House. At that time, the White House said, we cannot help you. We have already enough on our plate with Iraq and Afghanistan. The last thing you needed is now Syrian front. So we had, again, to do it all by ourselves. We sent our F-15s, and we created a big parking lot in the middle of the Syrian desert. Now, if you're asking me if we can do the same now with Iran, we learned that with the Iranians, better to send an email than an F-16. An email with several attachments, little worms. If it wasn't for that cyber warfare, Iran would have had a bomb long ago. Now, Iran learned the lesson from the Iraqis and the Syrians. They spread all of their facilities all over Iran, and it's not an easy task. And I want you to understand, we're standing right now in light of the Iran deal, which definitely threw Israel under the bus. We were left all alone. We're now left right before two major events that are about to happen. And I believe one will lead to the other. We talked about it in this conference. Isaiah 17, verse 1, I believe this is the biggest concern of the Israeli military and intelligence right now. The city of Damascus. And by the way, when the Bible talks about Damascus, the Bible normally talks about the capital as a representation of a country. Called Jerusalem means called Israel. You understand that Damascus is where we know is the largest concentration of weapons of mass destruction ever since Saddam Hussein smuggled everything the eve of your attack on him in 2001 or 2, I forgot. But I need you to understand that we understand what's going on there, and we understand that somehow someone will have to take an action, and Israel will have to do that only if Israel will be threatened by someone who will have no problem using that type of weapon against them. And I believe that the minute Damascus will be destroyed, that will trigger both Russia and Iran and the rest of the countries mentioned in Ezekiel 38 to come up against Israel with the greatest excuse. The Israelis attacked first, so now we come and take care of business. You see, we're standing alone with the Syrian situation right now. I know that we know that the ISIS is using all of those refugees to infiltrate into Europe, but a great number of these people are indeed innocent, and as they are moving away, they don't even think about going to Arab countries or Muslim countries. And none of the Muslim countries don't even offer any help, although they could. What we detected in the Israeli intelligence recently is none of those big transfers of refugees, we don't see any public Muslim prayer. They don't pray anymore. And we realize that, yes, there's no doubt there's a fifth column there. There's no doubt some ISIS operates infiltrated. But the vast majority are people that are completely disappointed from Islam. They're running away from Islam. Islam just killed all of their homes, all of their family members, butchered them one by one. You see people bruised and abused by Islam. And by the way, if you ask me, the ripest harvest field for the gospel in the world right now is Europe. because of the influx of all these people looking for help. And guess who is taking advantage of it? The Catholic Church. Because the Catholic Church is telling them, you don't have to be Catholic, believe in Christ, or belong to the church in order to enter the kingdom of God. Just be a good person. But 95% of the Muslims around the world are actually peace-loving people, probably. The problem is with the last five. But you understand, once all the innocents are out, guess who is left? The radicals, the terrorists. Guess what? Damascus is almost an empty city right now. Two-thirds of the Damascus residents are out. The only people inhabiting those houses are now operates terrorists. So when Israel will have to take action, if we will take action, we will have no problem doing so, knowing that most of the innocents are out anyway. They're all gone. And those radicals, as we heard, they are determined. They will not be moved to the right or to the left. Their goal is the annihilation of Israel, fulfillment of what their Quran is telling them. We are standing alone against Russia. The Russians invaded, and we understood that calling the White House won't help us in these days. Israel stands all alone with Iran. They are approaching the bomb. They got two tracks, 10 years and a few months. It depends how they feel. If they feel like walking along the international agreement, which they'll never do, then they still have a path to the bomb. But if they don't, which they don't, by the way, it's only a matter of a decision and a few months, and they have it. That's it. And we're all alone. Because the Americans and the Europeans and the Russians and the Chinese signed a deal that actually protects the Iranian nuclear program from any outside attack.
If you would like complete sets of CDs and DVDs, complete sets of CDs, which would be 6 full messages, are $30 plus 5 shipping. Complete sets of DVD messages, all 6 with PowerPoint, would be $40 plus 5 shipping. And you can send a check to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can order online, olivetreeviews.org, views as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our store and then to conference CDs or DVDs. And you can call the office and we will take your order and get those out to you. They will not be delivered until approximately mid-November because they are being edited and duplicated. So I'm coming back in just a minute or so and we'll conclude our message by Amir Sarfati. Remember, I like to keep in touch with you. I can do that on our Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries, via Twitter, Olive Tree Men. Sign up for my e-news alerts or e-newsletter at olivetreeviews.org, my print newsletter, and you can get a CD of this program. Even though we're offering CDs and DVDs of the entire event, we do allow you to call in for a CD of this program and order it individually if you would like to do that. I'm coming back in just a minute or two. Don't go away. We're going to complete Amir's message in just a minute.
One of the reasons Jan Markell decided to air one of our conference speakers on today's Understanding the Times broadcast was to let you know how powerful the messages were at this month's event. Many of the weekend attendees said it was the most powerful conference so far. Our conferees also heard from Dr. Robert Jeffress, former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, and Pastor Jack Hibbs. Each speaker had an outstanding message for today's church. You can hear them all by ordering the conference videos or audio CDs. Request your conference memories at olivetreeviews.org or phone 763-559-4444. If you were there, thank you for attending our weekend conference. It was an overwhelming success with several thousand there in person or streaming online. This broadcast ministry is made possible by those of you who know how important it is to understand the times in light of God's Word. Won't you consider standing with us with your prayer and financial support? Please send your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. In just a moment, we'll return with the conclusion to today's message.
I invite you on an incredible journey, a breathtaking tour of God's creation wonders, visible and invisible. Watch God's creative handiwork and what His creation reveals about His character. From the power of a thunderstorm to the intricacy of DNA or snow crystals, you will marvel at our God of wonders. This DVD, God of Wonders, is yours for a donation of any amount if you ask for it and live in the USA. Call us at 763-559-4444, 763-559-4444, or visit us online at olivetreeviews.org. You can also send a tax-deductible gift for the DVD to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311.
Israel is also standing alone against the United States. Now listen to me. Christians live in a bubble, and they truly think that America is still Christian. Now, you must understand, we just heard an amazing message on how America was founded on Christian, Judeo-Christian principles. Yes, America was a Christian nation. Unfortunately, we must give you a wake-up call right now. The demographics of America have dramatically changed. Some of it has been induced by this current administration, but we must understand, it's not what it used to be. And in the White House today, there is, I will not say it in any gentle way, an anti-Christ agenda.
Understanding the Times continues. Here again, Jan Markell.
Now let's get back and conclude the message by Israeli Amir Sarfati, who's from Jerusalem and who was one of my speakers back on October 2nd and 3rd.
So actually, Israel is all alone. We are standing alone against Turkey. That Erdogan is a egomaniac who thinks he is the sultan, who thinks that the Sunni Islam should be dominated by the Turks once again. I want to tell you that if it was not for Turkey, ISIS most likely wouldn't be so big and so successful. Turkey is the ISIS revolving door. Turkey just close their eyes and allow all the recruiters to come through their border into Syria with a secret agreement that it's only a one-way thing. You don't come into us. We will allow people into you. Did you know that the Turks are buying every day from ISIS oil worth of $3 million? Every day. He is such an egomaniac that he built for himself in Ankara a palace with 1,250 rooms. Most Turks are dirt poor. We're dealing with someone who's crazy. We're dealing with someone who took away the strongest alliance in the Middle East between Israel and Turkey. Israel stands alone with Europe. Europe is consumed with guilt feelings from World War II, so Europe is now embracing and encouraging all those people who come into their territory. I just heard that the German government actually pays landlords to house as many refugees as possible with a good sum of money, and those landlords are kicking out the real Germans from their houses because they can get more money from the government for housing those refugees. You see, we're talking about an unbelievable reality all around us. Israel is also standing alone against the United States. Now listen to me. Christians live in a bubble, and they truly think that America is still Christian. Now, you must understand, we just heard an amazing message on how America was founded on Christian, Judeo-Christian principles. Yes, America was a Christian nation. Unfortunately, we must give you a wake-up call right now. The demographics of America have dramatically changed. Some of it has been induced by this current administration. But we must understand, it's not what it used to be. And in the White House today, there is, I will not say it in any gentle way, an anti-Christ agenda, not anti-Christ. I don't think we're seeing him, but their agenda. The Bible says that the spirit of lawlessness, the mystery of lawlessness, is already at work. We see that. Almost every aspect of the American administration today is afflicted and is contaminated with the anti-Christ agenda. And of course, Israel has to be out of the picture. Anything that has to do with God's choices and the right things to do is not anymore something you should support. But now comes the point. The only nation that supports Israel unconditionally is not an earthly nation. All of you, you may call yourself Americans, but let me give you your new identity. Let me give you this 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a nation. Your nationality now is not of this world. You are not citizens of this world anymore. You are a holy nation. You are his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Once you were lo ami, not my people, now you are ami, my people. You are the nation of God, and you support Israel unconditionally because of God. So don't be offended if I say that America is no longer on the side of Israel. You are a different nation. You have a new identity. You better understand that you are designed to stand alone, just like Israel. If you stand with Jesus and with Israel, the world will not accept you. It's very important that you understand. I want to proclaim a warning right now to everyone who sits here and to everyone who listens all around the world. If you are not a believer and a fervent follower of Jesus Christ and or not a supporter of the right of Israel to exist in their land, their special place in God's plan, and your duty to provoke them to jealousy and lead them to their Messiah, you're in trouble. Because it's not enough to say that you're a Christian. It's not enough. You have to fulfill the duties that were called by it. You see, until Jesus comes, and he is about to come soon, amen? But until he comes, we're called to occupy. You see, that's not the role of America. That's the role of the nation of God. Occupy. You all called to be ready and be spirit-filled. Not everyone who calls himself a Christian is a Christian. In fact, most Christians around the world that have on their ID Christian aren't Christian. Matthew 25 talks about those virgins that were left behind because they were not ready. There was no oil in their lamps. Luke 4 says, I did not know you. In Isaiah, you have to understand, in Luke 4, in Isaiah 61, Luke and Isaiah are almost the same verses. Jesus in the synagogue of Nazareth says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Only when the Spirit of God is upon you, only when you're filled with the Spirit, then you can proclaim liberty to the captives. Then you can have that amazing message of salvation to all the world. Then you can become the official businessmen and women. This is the time for the Father's business. Luke 2:49, I must be about my Father's business. Luke 19:13. Do business till I come. And John 20:21, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. So you see, Israel standing alone is a picture of Christians standing alone in this world. You are a chosen nation. The world will not accept you. But that doesn't mean that you are not to fulfill your job, to occupy. You understand? There will be a time, by the way. It's not enough just to proclaim the word. It's not enough just to say you're a good Christian. You have a duty in regards to the people of Israel. In Joel chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, you see that God is going to judge the whole world. All the nations of the world will come down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and they will be judged according to what they did to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel, and to the land of Israel. In Matthew 25, we hear about the separation of the sheep from the goat, and it was all about, if you did the least to one of my brethren. Amazing. You understand that as far as the non-believers, they will be judged in regards to Israel. As far as the believer is concerned, there is the duty of the church towards Israel. I call it pray and pay. Watch this. Your duty to the non-believers, the Jews that are non-believers, is in Romans 11:11. Romans 11:11 says, through therefore, in order to provoke them to jealousy, salvation was given to the Gentiles. In other words, salvation was given to the Gentiles also to provoke what? Or who? Israel to jealousy. In other words, it's to provoke those who do not believe into jealousy. But there's also another component. Most Christians ignore the duty of the church towards the believing Jews is in Romans 15:27. You see, there's a lot of pastors around America, but there's pastors that suggest that the Jews don't need Jesus. From the pulpit, they will tell you. They will tell you that God has two covenants, one with Israel and one with the rest of the world. The Jews do not need Jesus in order to be saved. And when they come to Israel, they're the darling of the politicians because they're not posing any threat. They're not challenging anyone. They just bring money to build schools and kindergarten and bridges. Is that really the hope of Israel, another bridge? Is that really the hope of Israel, another school? Let me tell you something. When Paul was in Rome, and when all the leaders of the Jewish community in Rome came to see him, he said to them, "Because of the hope of Israel, I am bound in chains. Not that I have anything to blame you for it. I know you're blind. I know you cannot see. But it is the hope of Israel. Jesus Christ is the only hope of Israel. And if you think that you can love Israel but not offer them the only hope for peace and for eternal life, then you are in trouble. You must understand, Jesus told the Jewish people, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the way. No one can come to the Father but through me. He didn't say it to the Gentiles. You cannot suggest that they have their own way. There is no shortcuts to heaven. There is no card that dismisses you from having to believe in Jesus. The only way Jewish people will ever know their God, will ever understand their scriptures, will ever fellowship with him and him with them, will ever see Emmanuel, God is with us, is when they put their trust in him. The Bible says that right after the tribulation, when the tribulation will come to an end and Jesus will return and we return with him, and I believe that we are to be taken before the tribulation in order to come back with him. I don't believe in a bungee jump. I believe we're not destined to the wrath of God. I believe that when we come back, the Bible says in the book of Zechariah, when they see the one whom they pierced, they will mourn, they will cry, they will repent. Unfortunately, though, this is the remnant from the tribulation. Why is it so important that you evangelize to Jewish people? It's because 2/3 of them will not make it. The Bible says in Zechariah 13, 2:12, 2/3 will perish, and the last third he will bring through the fire. So, the duty of the church is to first understand that you are the people of God. You have your own nationality, new citizenship. Two, you have to occupy. These are the last days. This is it. We've come to the finish line. The rapture of the church can be any minute. All the signs are here. Everything that has to happen had happened. All that the prophets and all that the disciples wished they had seen, we see every day in our own lives today. And to whom much is given, much is required. And I believe there's a heavier responsibility on the shoulders of the believers today than ever before to rise up, occupy, be in the Father's business, and stand for Israel where the rest of the world will never do. And so I want to urge you, as we close up this message, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but pray with wisdom. Jerusalem will never have peace until the Prince of Peace will come. So what it is to pray for the peace of Jerusalem? It's to pray for the peace between the people and their God. And I know only one way for people to have peace with God. Amen? We must pray for the salvation of the people of Israel. We must pray for the local believers and help them. The Bible says in Romans 15, if they shared with you the spiritual things, you, the least you can do is share with them the material thing. The work of evangelism in Israel should be an important thing in your minds and heart. We want to win them to Christ because there is no other name by which men can be saved. And all of God's people say, Amen. Amen. Amen.
God plans to use Israel's isolation for significant end-time purposes. We know that Romans 11 says, all Israel will be saved, all who survive the tribulation period, for they will see him whom they have pierced, mourn for him, and turn to him as Messiah. She will have been betrayed by the Antichrist, by all nations of the world, but never betrayed by the God of Israel, just as you and I will never be betrayed or abandoned by God. He is a covenant maker and a covenant keeper. That was the essential message given by Amir 2 weeks ago. Again, encourage you to get CDs or DVDs of this event. 6 messages, 2 by Dr. Robert Jeffress, 2 by Pastor Jack Hibbs, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, 1 by Amir, and 1 by Michelle Bachman. You can order through the P.O. Box, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311, by telephone, 763-559-4444. You can order online, olivetreeviews.org. Again, 6 messages on CD, $30 plus 5 shipping, 6 messages on DVD with valuable PowerPoint, $40 plus 5 shipping. Beautiful case suitable for gift giving. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for joining us for today's Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Today's presentation by Amir Sarfati, along with 5 other messages from our October 2015 conference speakers, are available now on DVD and CD. Order them online or call Olive Tree Ministries. You can download an audio copy of today's program at our website, olivetreeviews.org, or purchase a single CD when you phone 763-559-4444. Again, to order conference video or audio CDs, click or call. Visit olivetreeviews.org or call 763-559-4444. This broadcast ministry deeply appreciates your prayer and financial support. As a thank you for your donation in any amount, we'll send you the video, God of Wonders. To order, call 763-559-4444. Again, phone 763-559-4444. This offer is for USA residents only. Your tax-deductible gifts are also welcome when you write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Jan Markell returns next week with more Inconvenient Truth. Thank you for listening.